So today's topic really is called, It's How We Share Him. It's how we share him. And you know, this coming Sunday, as I mentioned before, is Easter. And it's a day that we celebrate the most significant event that ever occurred in all of history. And it doesn't matter whether you are atheist, agnostic, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, whatever you claim to be, it doesn't even matter whether you believe it or not. The fact is, this coming Sunday, we celebrate the most significant event that occurred throughout history. And everybody's impacted by it. And if you don't believe it, all you got to do is look at your calendar. When Jesus stepped on the scene, it was so important that they split time. They literally restarted the clock, the calendar clock, between B.C. and A.D. It was something big that happened that when Jesus came in, and he came and he brought a message that impacted not only his little circle, but his community. And he impacted all of Judea, Samaria, and the entire world. And he's still impacting lives today. And not only that. There are people who, for the entire year, they ignore that fact and they push it. And every time the idea of the resurrection, the resurrection of a person associated with Jesus' resurrection comes up, and they think about the implication that they push it off. But every single year, around this time of the year, they come to terms with a conviction, and hundreds of millions of people come to that conviction. And they're faced once again with, what am I going to do? And what they do next is largely dependent on what you do and what I do. And that's why churches all over the United States, on Easter Sunday, people come to that realization that there's something more, and they end up in church. And the reason why they end up in church, or they end up in some place of worship, because of what you do and what I do. And the amount of people that will show up and the people who will be impacted is largely dependent on really how we do it. How we do it. And so how we share the life-changing message of Jesus. And so for the last few weeks, minus last week, we've been doing a series that we call Newscasters. And in that series, we've literally been talking through what was so special about this message of Jesus. What was so special that made people leave what they were doing and go follow Jesus? And then 2 weeks ago, Calvin talked about, well, what do we do with that message? Today, I want to get real practical, because you guys know me. The series is normally one long message that's divided up into parts. So today, I want to get really practical. First week was really theological. Today is really practical. And how is it that we can share Jesus? And it's the hardest thing for many, many, many people to do. And the reason that it's so hard is because of there are many symptoms. And I believe that it comes down to one word, is fear. And we have a fear, and this may be your reason why you don't share. You may fear like, well, maybe I'm going to be rejected. And I don't know if any of you have ever been rejected, but I've been rejected. Probably the biggest rejection that a lot of people face, at least I did, was with a girl. And I could always talk. I didn't have the heights, didn't have the looks, but I had a mouth. I could talk, and so back when I was growing up, we called it lyrics. And I thought I had lyrics, and I thought, I could be like smooth without being overbearing, without coming across as being smooth. And one of my friends, I don't want to call his name because he's probably watching. He doesn't live here. He had a sister. His sister was beautiful. And so I was like, yeah, I'm going to get her. And so I got everything together, and I put on my Dracar Nior, it's a little bit behind the ears, not too much. Y'all know about Dracar. And put my line in. And my girl said to me, she goes, I can't go out with you. I'm like, why not? She goes, I got to wash my hair. So I'm like, what about the following day? She goes, I wash it every day. This is not a lie. I'm like, got it. But rejection is not a good feeling at all. And so some of us have that fear of rejection. Some of us have a fear of ridicule. We don't want to be that guy or that girl. There was a guy when we were growing up. He was that guy, right? Even though we were Christians, this guy was a Christian of Christians. We used to call him Soup, like for super Christian, because we just imagined him with a cape on. Like, we couldn't stand up to this guy, and we were Christians. And so, we called him Soup, and, it was a friend of ours, and it was kind of a love name. But, one could say that was ridicule. So we have a fear of rejection. We have a fear of ridicule, or maybe our fear is of the unexplainable question. And people ask, well, what about those people in Africa who have never heard? Is God going to send them to hell? By the way, that's an explainable answer. But they may come up with something like, how did God create the world in 6 days? That doesn't even make any sense. And so you come up with, maybe it's dealing with those questions, or maybe it's dealing with our knowledge of the Bible. They ask a simple Bible question and we don't know. Or maybe it's fear of not being perfect enough, of not being good enough, where we like, man, they know where I was last night. They know what I was doing. How am I going to share anything? And so I want to tell you this morning that there are some verses in the Bible that you should know and you should remember and you should hold on to, because that word there did not come from God. The word fear did not come from God. And the only fear that we're supposed to have is one of awe for God. They're like, wow, I can't believe God loves me. That's the fear of the Lord. And fear, and this is the verse that I want you to remember. It says here in 2 Timothy 1:7, said that God did not give us the spirit of fear, or the spirit that makes us afraid or timid. So whenever you feel afraid or timid, you like said, God did not give you that. If you ever feel scared of doing something, you need to rebuke that fear and says, that fear did not, because it tells you right there, God did not give you that. The spirit that God gave you, and we need these three things to do the work that I'm talking about today. Number one is power. He gave us a spirit of power. Whenever we feel power, whenever we feel bold, whenever we feel like, yes, we can take on the world, we can take on the world for Christ. That is the power of the Holy Spirit coming and indwelling into our lives. And we talked about that in a message on the Holy Spirit. That says the power to make us bold. The second thing that he gives us is a spirit of love that says that, he says that, I love you so much that I'm putting that love that I have for you in you, so you can turn around and love people and be really, 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 and you really care about people. Last week we kind of talked about that, and we said in 2 Corinthians 5:14, it says the reason why we go out and why we need to go out is because the love of Christ compels us to do it. And Paul said, he said, woe to him if he doesn't do that. If he doesn't preach the gospel, because the love of Christ, he says, woe to him. He doesn't really care whether he died or not, because the love of Christ compelled him. So God gives us boldness to go, the power to go. And if you go only in power, you have no sensitivity whatsoever. You just go and you just tell that message. and you probably won't be effective, right? And if you only have love and you have no power, you won't go anywhere, because you're like, I don't know if now is the right time. I know I need to do that, but not. So you need power and you need love. But the third thing that God wants us to get, that his spirit provides, that we need to go out to share, is sound judgment, or good judgment. Another word that I use for that is wisdom. And that's really the key, right? The key is that in order for us to share, we need power. We need love, and we need wisdom. Here's what Paul says. He says, be wise in the way that you act towards those who are outside the Christian faith. Be wise in the way that you act to those who are outside the Christian faith, and make the most of your opportunities. He goes on to say this. He says, let your conversations be not sometimes, but always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to give an answer to anyone. And another version said this. Everything, pretty much, you know, it's kind of, the Living Bible says, everything you say should be kind and well thought out, so that you know how to answer everyone. The first key in being effective in sharing Jesus, and it's really practical, if you should take notes, because this is good stuff. It's not good stuff because I'm saying it's good stuff, because it is good stuff. The first thing, the first key in sharing Jesus, you got to exercise wisdom. You have to be wise. And one of the traps that the devil tries to throw in front of us, he tries to throw in front these distractions that pull us off from away from our mission. You see, God has given us a mission, and the devil doesn't like our mission. Because the devil, the more people that follow the mission that we're talking about, is the less that he gets a chance to hold off. And he don't like that at all. And I know that's bad grammar, but he don't like it. And so, one of the things that he uses is distractions, and distractions with arguments. And so, you know, the first part of being wise is avoid unhelpful arguments. And here's what Paul says. He says to Timothy. Timothy was a young guy, and he's giving Timothy some instructions. He's like, hey, Timothy, the devil is going to try and pull you away, but with foolish arguments, he says, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. He said, a servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. You know, a lot of times that we get into these arguments, and we see it all the time. We see it with political arguments. We'll be on Facebook, and somebody says something about somebody, a political figure we don't like. And we're like, all right, it's on. And we take them on, and we start going back and forth. We're going back and forth. And then what happens is that unfriend, unfollow, block, mute, whatever those things are that you do. I don't know what they do in Snapchat, but they unsnap. You get unsnapped. And the devil smiles when that happens, because you've just destroyed a relationship, an opportunity. You didn't make the most of every opportunity. And you need to watch out for that. And I'm not saying don't have debates. I'm saying that when the argument starts to become unhelpful, when the argument starts to become an argument, when the debate starts to become an argument, you got to pull back, and you got to make sure that your words are kind and well thought out. And when they try to trap you with an answer, you know, like, all right, I recognize that trap. I'm not going to fall into that trap. Be wise and avoid unhelpful arguments. But unhelpful arguments come in multiple forms. It comes also in the form of Christians. And this gets me really bad, where Christians bash other Christians publicly in front of people who aren't followers of Jesus. And we see it all the time. Like, somebody doesn't like a pastor because they think that the pastor doesn't give all the full theology. And they, like, lash out on social media. And again, I'm not saying that among Christians you can't have this, because you're in the family. But the world out there is watching how we go at each other. And we need to be wise about that. And so Paul says, hey, stay away from foolish arguments, right? Controversial debates, and that talk about useless family histories, or another version says genealogies, another version says spiritual pedigree. But basically what it says is that it kind of a way that you want to think about is like, well, I'm a Baptist. And as a Baptist, I get it right. Or I'm brethren, and we do communion the right way. Or I'm a Presbyterian, and it's about the suit, it's about the robes, and it's about all of this. And we get into these arguments, and Paul's like, what are we talking about? It's like a spiritual pedigree. It comes down from a historical context that some people follow. It's like, what are we talking about? And the world's looking on like, what are you guys talking about? and arguments about the law. And the law was, at the time when this was written, there was no New Testament. So the law, just think of the law as the Bible. And the way that you want to think about this, that you get into arguments about, you know, pre-tribulation and post-tribulation, you know, this eschatology. And it was like, and people looking on and like, okay, those are great arguments to have internally. But what are you doing? Because those things, when it really comes down to sharing Jesus, are worth nothing. And they're not helpful to anyone. So avoid any unhelpful arguments. But the second thing, or another thing in being wise, is this. Be wise in answering the whatabouts. It's another tool of the devil. He's like, he's going to like get you at the whatabouts. And people are like, man, scientists say that the world was formed billions of years ago. So what about that? Or how did Adam and Eve populate the world? Did they like kids have sex? And after the ark, and they try to get you into those what about questions, and you need to have an answer. And the answer, I'll tell you this, is that, I mean, obviously you need to study, and the more you study, you get better at that. But when you don't know the answer, just simply say, I don't know about that, but here's what I do know. Like, what about this? I don't know about that, but here's what I do know. I know I once was lost, but now I'm found. I know I once was blind, but now I see. I knew that one time I was praying for my mother to get well, and the doctor said that she wasn't going to get well, and she got well. I said, I don't know about all of that, but here's what I do know. And just take it back in there and say, what about those people who, you know, who don't, I don't know about that. By the way, I'll give you an answer to that. When people say, what about those people who have never heard? And if you read, and I'm not going to go into it a lot today, but I'll just tell you this. God is a just God. Whenever something doesn't make sense, you need to trust the character of God. And God is not fair. People say, oh, God is fair. And God is not fair. If God is fair, everybody would get everything equally, and he would get everything that they deserve all the time. Like, if you kill somebody, you're dead, right? But God is just, and in a just system, and we have an attorney in here, but a just system says that God looks at the situation. And he looks at the situation, and he's like, determines what happens next. And I can tell you, I'm not speaking heresy. That is actually in fact. And we are judged by what is revealed to us. All right, topic for another day. But the thing to remember is that God is not fair. We don't want a fair God, because all of us would be in hell. We want a just God, where he extends his love towards us, that even though we deserve something, we deserve death. He died for us in his place. So God, but anyway, when people talk about the what about, just remember, I don't know about that, but here's what I do know. And Paul says it this way, you know, he says, well, I'll go on to the next point. He said, the next thing that you should be wise on is to strive to find things that you agree on. The people will come and they'll try and they'll bring things to you and try to like tear you down. And when I was growing up, there's a lot of things that happened when I was growing up. And by the way, when I talk about that, I don't want people to think that I had an issue with the way I grew up. I actually appreciated so much because it's made me who I am today. But one of the things, for instance, that was, you know, taught to me when I was growing up, right, is that, man, Muslims, they don't like Christians. And they're like, oh, you know, it's like, you got it. And you know what Muslims are taught? Christians don't like us. And so I found myself in a situation about 5 years ago when my company started doing a lot of insourcing. And a lot of people from Pakistan and from India came to work, and we had an influx of people. And so I remember the first conversations. I wanted to tell these people about Jesus because they needed some salvation right here, right now. And they wanted to tell me about how the atrocities that happen in Christianity. And so I started thinking, and then this verse kind of like hit me. Here's what Paul says. He says, when I'm with those whose consciences bother them easily, and I'm going to make an application here. In another version says, when to the weak, right, the people who are not strong in the same faith that I am. He's like, even though I know better, I don't act as though I know it all. I don't say they're foolish. I'm like, you're dumb for thinking that. You know that? And what happens when I do that is that they're willing to let me help them. When I was like, I know what I know, but I don't have to say everything that I know. I just listen. And I find that I just listen, and then when they think that they've been heard, then they'll open up a door for me to listen to them. And that's what he says. He said, you know, whatever a person is like, I try to find some common ground with him so that he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him. See, Paul knew that there are things that would take us off mission. It was like, my mission is Christ, so that Christ can save them. That other stuff, he thinks I'm wrong? Doesn't matter, because I'm on mission. I'm always on mission. And you see what he wants to do, right? He's like, I act like I don't say anything, so that they'll let me help them. And then I try to find common ground so that I can tell them about Christ, so that Christ can save them. And I was telling you a story about these guys at work. So what I did, I might have told you this story before. I actually got the entire Quran, the Muslim Bible, on audio. And I listened for, I don't remember how long, a month, month and a half, 2 months. I listened every day. I was like, listening. But listening and just trying to understand some of the things that are in the Quran. And so I go to work, and I listened, and I stopped trying to tell them what I know and just start ask questions. And then I got into it. I'm like, hey, I read the Quran. They're like, you did? I'm like, yeah. And one of the guys invited me to a mosque. He left the company before we did that. I'm like, yeah, I'll go to the mosque with you. The whole idea was to find some common ground. Because the reality is that a mosque, me stepping foot into a mosque is not going to make me go to hell. And not at all. I'm stepping into a mosque. I'm finding some common ground. I was like, hey, man, I read the Quran. You're like, well, you did? I'm like, yeah. It's like good stuff in there. I'm like, man, I found out stuff about Jesus as a boy that I didn't even know existed. It's like, yeah, because the Quran has the stuff about Jesus growing up. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. It doesn't even really matter, right? But we had a conversation about stuff that's in there. And you know what? After that, it's like, so what do you believe? Well, let me tell you what I believe. And some of those guys, actually, we were, you know, some years ago, those guys, when we were in our building, they literally came to PCC before. Those people who are Hindu and Muslim came to PCC. And I do believe that one or two of them are listening today. And the reason why that is because I found some common ground and find things that we can agree on. And I think you could find common ground to agree with anybody on some things. I found common ground with atheists. You know, they said, you know, one day my former boss, she said, "Don't you think it's like kind of crazy that somebody spoke and the world came about in six days? I'm like, "Yeah, it's crazy." I agree with you. That's wow. She goes, "You believe that?" I'm like, "Man, that's kind of unbelievable." And then she's like, "Yeah." She goes, "You're a pastor. How can you say that?" I'm like, "Okay, so what's your story?" And she's like, "Well, you know, this is a big bang." I'm like, I got a problem. What caused the big bang? Well, we don't know. I'm like, that's crazy to believe a big bang could cause this. She's like, yeah, that's kind of crazy too. Like, well, agreed. Both theories are pretty crazy. But I said, which one's crazier? And you don't have to say anything. Just ask some questions. You find some common ground. You can always find some common ground that you can agree on with somebody, because as long as you remember your mission, it's just a tactic for you to get to your mission. So the first key about sharing Jesus and pointing people to Jesus or sharing Jesus is to be wise. But the second key is this, it's to be intentional. And do you know that God plans orchestrations? He plans these orchestrations in our midst, that you think that everybody that you meet, every detour that you encounter on the road is random. I don't believe that. No, I'm not one of those who believe that everything is, right? And you guys can talk to me about it afterwards. But I certainly believe that many things that we think are random are not random. The waitress that came to you, in the server that came to you in your restaurant, that may not be a random occurrence that she, that you sat at the table that she was at. And how I know this is really King Solomon, he observed this. He said this, you know, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord determines his steps. Like, I'm going to go to this restaurant today. I get there, the restaurant is closed. I got to go to one decided. I don't want Mexican food. Let me go to eat some Mexican food. I was really thinking about Chinese food. Feeling some Asian food. You go there, and the server comes over to you, or the person at the front. That may be a divine orchestration that God has put in your path for you to do something with. And so I want you to just kind of think for a moment, right, that what if, and remember I said that there are some, but what if there was no random interaction? What if every person you came in contact with was orchestrated by God? What if their eternity depended on what you did next? And I'm not talking about like, oh, I got to get them saved right away and so, because that's power, but that's not wisdom. Right? She's like, oh, yeah, I'm saved. And so I would suggest to you that treat everybody that you come in contact with. The Holy Spirit will bring it to you, but start with a smile. Start with a smile. Be inviting to them, like, hey, how are you doing? And don't say, hey, how are you doing while you're walking. Say, how are you doing, and stop and pause. And if they want to respond, that may be a window. And then, you know, as and depends on how the conversation goes, hang around long enough to have that conversation. And now, people may say, well, what do you talk about? I'll just give you some tips. If you are a parent, you love talking about your kids. If somebody has a child right there, that's the best way possible. The child is right there and they're there. Talk to the child first. Say, hey, you're kind of cute. Don't lie, but, you know, if they're not cute, just say, hey, you're kind of tall. Something. But what you do is get down and meet the kid eye to eye. Get down like this. See the kid eye to eye and talk to the kid. Man, parents love when you talk to their kids and talk about their kids. If you're a man, there's a man. Men love talking about what they do. They talk about sports. They talk about their career. They talk about stuff. And if you're a student, you talk about school and major and homework and all that other stuff, what you're doing. And if you're a woman, you just talk. I mean, I was just trying to find the rest of the answer. I couldn't come up with anything else. So you just talk. And you listen. Say very little, other than just ask questions and keep the conversation going. And I tell you, that's being intentional. The second thing that you need to be intentional about, the first one is in every interaction. The second one is in every relationship. Now, there are people that you have in your life that you see on a regular basis. And I want you right now, right this second, I'm going to give you an exercise, a 15-second exercise. And we're going to observe a moment of 15 seconds of silence while you think about this. Number one, here's the thing. I want you to think about a person in your circle, your friends or your relatives or your coworkers or your neighbors, that you think you could be intentional about sharing Jesus with. Think of a name. Think of a face. And I'm pretty sure everyone in here has one person in their mind. But I want you to do something else over the course of the next week. I want you to write that in your phone or in your, I don't know what you use, your steno or whatever you write things in, and write that name down. And I want you to do it for 6 other people. I want you to write down 7 names. I chose 7 because 7 is a perfect number, so there's no magic to the 7. And I want you to think about how you can be intentional in every relationship with them. Now, You may ask how to do that. And again, this is a really practical sermon. Really, really practical. So here's what you do. So, you know, you start to find their spiritual spot, the spot where they have a need, and you start to meet that need. It's like, oh, Pastor Gary, how do I find that? And the funny thing is, there's a guy whose name, for you psychologists in our midst, a guy's name is Abraham Maslow, I believe his name is. Look at my psych majors. And he wrote down something that Jesus practiced. Here's what he wrote down. He called it, he gave his name to it. He says it's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And Maslow said this, right? And Jesus knew this. So you can see it in how Jesus operated. Maslow's like, all right, we got like, I don't know, six needs that we have in order for us to feel fulfilled. And last week I mentioned to feel healthy, happy, and high in life, to feel really fulfilled and feel like we're living out our purpose. And you can't achieve the next one, generally speaking, until you achieve the one on the bottom. But you can group those up into three things. It's basic needs, it's emotional needs, and then it's spiritual needs. It's body, soul, spirit. There it comes back again. You know it always comes back. Body, soul. But Abraham Maslow recognized that, says, hey, if you come to me and start talking to me about heaven and about spiritual things, and I can't eat, I never want to hear that. I'm like, what are you going to do to help me feed my family? And so you look at people around you, and you see some of them may have something physical, and do a random act of kindness towards them, and do something and meet the specific needs. Or sometimes it could be that somebody in your friends, relatives, coworkers, and neighbors need a friend. And so, you know, you try to connect them to a place where they can have friendship. And so you meet those needs one by one by one by one. And it's not this whole jump and let me just jump to the top of the pyramid. You gotta meet them where they are. So in every interaction, you do that. So the third thing, first one is be wise. The second one is be intentional. The third thing is be Jesus's representative. You know, we mentioned this before that says, you know, I was praying with Ingrid back there, and she reminded me of this verse. It's found in 2 Corinthians 5:20. It says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. When we're an ambassador, we get all the attributes of the person or the country that we are being an ambassador for. And we got to remember that we are Jesus's representative. Here's what Paul says. It says, whatever you do or say is as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do or say, you know. I think most of you guys know that I work for a Fortune 500 company during the week. And they told me, they're like, Gary, you are never off the clock. We know, because I have to disclose this, we know that you're a pastor. And they didn't say it in this conversation. I'm just connecting a number of conversations. Whatever you say on the platform, you are representing the company. You are never off. You're an officer of the company. And so, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we talk about a lot of stuff on the platform, but I always remember, I'm a representative of the company I work for. More importantly, we're all here who have claimed Christ. We're representative of Jesus Christ in whatever we do or say. We're always Christ. You can't say, I'm off. Can I say off the record? They ain't no off the record. You are always on the record. You're always on the clock. Our attorneys will say, and it wasn't Miranda rights, whatever you say can and will be used against you. The reality is that if you say stuff that you act in that you're not Jesus' representative people, the devil is going to use that junk against you. So remember, you're always on the clock. And so it was interesting, right? We told the story of Peter and Andrew. And Peter and Andrew going and when Jesus first called them. And with Andrew, with Peter and Andrew, Jesus says, hey, look, I taught you how to fish. You know, basically the story went like this. They were standing on the side of the shore, and Peter was washing his nets because the whole night they went fishing. I didn't catch anything, but they had to clean out the nets, you know, clean out the old soda bottles and the, you know, trash that they found. And Jesus said to them, hey, go back out and cast your net out on the other side of the boat. And it's like, I can imagine what was going through Peter's head, like, come on, Jesus, You know about teaching and stuff. I know about fishing. It's like I've been out all night. Imagine being up all night and you just finished washing your nets. You're ready to go home. And Jesus is like, throw it out. We're going to think about that for a second. You know, and Peter went out and he did what Jesus asked him to do. And he became a representative of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But the fourth thing here is, the fourth key, is be always pointing people to Jesus. I want to show you something here. I use this as an illustration. Some of our refresh youth will know this, but I'm not going to do this. This is a stick, but it's also the gospel. Anyway. You guys know the story about sharing the gospel, the joke. But this is a stick. And I want you to think, this is a very long stick. It's a painter's stick. And I want you to think about this, that this stick here represents the journey with Jesus. And I want you to think that at the end of this stick, is a point where somebody makes a commitment to a relationship with Jesus. Now you think about that for a second. And you see, the ultimate goal is really where everything that we want to do is about sharing Jesus. But a lot of times we think that we're supposed to like push people over the edge here. And Jesus is like, your job is to point people to me, to wherever people are, to let them get on the train. Get on the train. And this represents a journey. So the first step in sharing your journey or sharing Jesus and pointing people to Jesus, you need to recognize that some people are way over here. They're looking away from Jesus, but they're right here. They're like far away. They don't know anything about anything. There are other people who are here, and they're not looking toward Jesus. They're right here. And then there are other people who are here. You just go up to them and say, hey, how you doing? I'm like, please, I want to be saved. Right, and then they just turn around and point to Jesus. But people are all over the spectrum, but looking the other way. There are also people who are on the line, but they're right here. They haven't made a commitment yet, and they're far away from making a commitment. This is our job, is to get them on the line, to point them towards that way, no matter where they get on. Because once they get on this board, Jesus is going to draw them close to him. He's going to draw them close to him and his Holy Spirit. Our job is to just simply tell the story and point them and say, hey, you may want to go over there because there is better. So how do you do that? Well, number one, or the first part of doing that, it's kind of like entry point. Somebody's over here, is share your hope. You know, if somebody comes to you and is like, they ask you a question, he's like, well, I don't know about that, but here's what I do know. You know? And you share that I was once was lost story. But not only what happened 2 months ago or 3 months ago or 15 years ago or 30 years ago, I want you to share what happened yesterday. You know, I was studying for this test and I just couldn't get it. And I really put the time in and I said, God, take it. And God took it. And miraculously, the only things that I knew was what was on the test. I don't know about you, but you may want to try my God. Share your story. Share your hope. It says, I don't know about all of that, but here's what happened to me. And you do it this way. This was a situation. This is when Jesus stepped in. And this is a situation now. All the time, 100% of the time, that's all you have to do. That's number one, is to share your hope. Number two is to share your church. Now, on this, I want you to think about the church being a body of people, because that's what it is. It's a group of local people called out to be together. And in sharing your church, there are a number of factors, there are a number of things that happens within the context of this church. And there are things that happen to get people on right here. There are things that happen in here to get people on here. There are things that happen for people to get on here. And the people that get on here, there's a song, Get On Board With The Children. I don't know if you guys remember that song. That's Jonathan and Matthew probably remember that. But so somebody may be looking this way, but they have a heart for service. They just love serving people. And you're doing something. Our Refresh Youth, they did a Feed the Homeless thing a couple years ago. They just made some sandwiches. They drove down and just found random homeless people on the street and fed them. That's an opportunity to somebody who is looking this way to say, hey, why don't you come and, hey, you like doing Luke 14 Ministries. They did that last week. They went and fed. They did a more structured thing, organized. Invite somebody who's far away from God to come and serve. And they'll see that we're doing. And another thing that you can do is somebody could need a friend. And they're new in town and need of some relationships. And you look and you're like, hey, you know, our church. And by the way, this church, this is a teeny church, has a ton of small groups. And, you know, our college students, are starting another one. And then, you know, we talked about that they're pushing down to the middle age, the middle school and high school. And we have all these places where somebody needs a relationship. They could be right here. It's literally stepping over the line and pointing them to Jesus. There's other things that we have. Somebody could be going through some difficulty and they need prayer. And we invite them to the PCC prayer line. And we're like, look, you don't even have to come. And just tell us and we'll pray for you. You can just listen in. You can come when you want to and leave when you want to. We have all these things going on. We have, you know, you can say, hey, you know, my we talked about it at the church. You know, we talked about, you know, finding the right person. I know you're looking for somebody special in your life. Hey, some things you want to look for. There's a sermon series that we did at church called Free and Single. Go look that up. It has some really great advice. And you don't even got to be a Christian to listen to it. This is like really good advice. And doing that, they step over the line and turn and point. And I could go on and on and on and on. Your church has all these ways to help you. But the final thing that I'll say in this here is that you need to share your hope. You need to share your church. But really, you need to share your Jesus. You need to share your Christ. And it's not that complicated. You're like, man, I don't know. You know, people talk about the way to do it. It's a Romans road, and they have all these techniques. And all you got to do is share. Remember three things. Number one, God loves you. And God desires more than anything. He created you to be the object of his desire. He's like, I created you to love you. It's like, and he looks at us every time he creates another one of us. He's like, he looks like, I did it again. Another masterpiece. And he's like, and he created us with a free will for us to love him back. But the devil tried to overthrow God, and he kind of messed things up. And the devil then tried to pull all of us down. And he comes between what we want, what God wants from us to love him back. And we start to do this. We start to look around. And God says, that's sin. And he's like, oh, man, we got a problem. So the first one is God loves you. The second one is the problem is that the moment we took our eyes off Christ, we sin. And God's like, you can't come. You can't be with me because I'm perfect. And then everybody would mess up and everybody would go. But of any God who sent people to hell. He's like, whoa, you're a pastor. I'm like, yeah. Man, if a God sent somebody to hell, I don't want to serve that God. So if you're serving that God, that ain't a God I want to serve. I'm like, me too, I agree. I said, you know what? Because my God didn't design hell for any human being. My God designed hell for a guy who rebelled against him in heaven. And my God said, if you follow him, you're making a choice to go with him. And my God says, look, I am providing the way for you to spend the way I created you to begin. Here it is. Just grab my hand. Just grab my hand. And you're like, no. And God's like, I didn't design that place for you. You want to go there? Grab my hand. No, God, I'm not ready yet. He's like, dude, do that. Grab my hand. I'm not going to grab yours because I created you with free will. You got to desire me. This relationship thing is a two-way thing. And Jesus says, I am that solution. So, sharing your faith. God loves you. The problem. The solution. You don't got to know any scripture to do that. You just got to know God loves you. the problem, the solution. You know, as the praise team comes on out, I'm going to take 3 more minutes. And I want to close off this message where I first started the series. And the message is really on Peter. And how did Peter become this great sharer of Jesus? How did Peter become this great follower of Jesus? A lot of people think that Jesus said, "Hey, Peter, come follow me." And Peter just got up and just dropped everything and followed him. But you see, it wasn't like that. Because if you go back, what you'll find out is that Andrew, Peter's brother, it actually started with John the Baptist. A guy became before Jesus. And Andrew, Peter's brother, was like fascinated with John the Baptist. And he was a follower of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist would always talk about this man, this person who's coming after him. And then one day, Jesus shows up. And John the Baptist says, "Look, there's the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world." And he said, "Andrew, that's the one." And he pointed Andrew to Jesus. Andrew, once pointed to Jesus, went and got his brother Simon Peter and said, "Peter." And Andrew pointed Peter to Jesus. And they both hung out with Jesus for months, but they didn't make a commitment. And so when Jesus was at the Sea of Galilee, they had already known Jesus. And this is what I was talking about. They were following Jesus over here. And Jesus invited Peter and Andrew in a little fish trick to go, and they caught more fish. And God was pulling them, pulling them, pulling them. And after that fish trick, and Peter would set up following Jesus, and people would say, "But if God did a fish trick for me, I would follow Jesus too." And Peter, if he was here, he would have said, "What are you talking about? See, I was there when all of that happened, but I was there when I also thought at then that Jesus was going to be a physical savior. He was going to take us away from Rome. But I was there when the soldiers came and I cut off one of their ear. And I saw Jesus put it back. I'm like, we're supposed to be fighting. And I saw when it became apparent that they put a crown of thorns on his head and they beat him. And I'm like, snap. And I pressed unfollow. I didn't follow Jesus anymore. People said, "Do you know Jesus?" I know, I don't know Jesus. "Do you know Jesus?" I don't know. Third time, he's like, I can't even say what he said in church before the no. But it wasn't nice. It was an expletive. And then I saw, I didn't expect anything. And then I saw the empty tomb. And that changed everything. And you think I followed Jesus then? I'm like, man, I'm following Jesus now. And because of the resurrection, I know that I serve just this awesome, awesome God. And I'm like, and I'm not serving God because the Bible told me so. There was no Bible. I'm serving God because I saw it. And he's like, "I don't want you guys to forget this, so I'm going to write it down." Peter wasn't writing the Bible when he was like, "Look, you guys need to know what I saw." Here's what he said he saw. He said, "I saw when they hurled their insults at him, he didn't retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to one who judges justly. He bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we're healed." And that is the message of Jesus Christ. That by his wounds, we're healed. If you don't know this Jesus that I serve, that the praise team will be singing about, it's my desire that this Easter, you start making the journey across the line and pointing the way to Jesus. As Easter is coming up next week Sunday, it's a prime opportunity to put all of this into action, which is to be wise, be intentional, be Jesus' representative, and be always pointing people to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for allowing me, giving me the privilege of sharing your word. In Jesus' name.